high price of fencing us in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Today's the day the president signs the Secure Fence Act of 2006. It calls for the government to build a 700-mile barrier on a stretch of U.S.-Mexican border. What the bill doesn't provide is the money to pay for it. John Dimsdale reports.
The new law calls for building a double-layered wall with roads, lighting, cameras, and sensors along a third of the distance between the Pacific Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. The cost estimates range from $2.2 to $6 billion. Most of that will have to be appropriated in future budget bills.
A fence is a good start.
Stephen Camerata with the Center for Immigration Studies thinks it will be money well spent.
It probably does have some deterrent effect, where now you have places where large numbers of people come across and overwhelm sometimes the Border Patrol. That becomes much more difficult when you put in a system of fencing.
Opponents range from environmentalists worried about migrating animals to a Native American tribe that straddles the border. The Department of Homeland Security has argued that a virtual fence using land-based and airborne sensors could also do the trick at a lower cost. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
All those laptop battery recalls have seriously drained Sony's bottom line. The Japanese electronics giant is reporting third-quarter profit down a staggering 94%. Also to blame, a delay in the much-anticipated PlayStation 3 gaming console. When does $726,000 a year equal $295 million? When you're Barry Diller and your base salary is just a fraction of all the options you take home. However you slice it, the media mogul is the highest-paid executive in the land. Two different studies added up various figures available on executive pay, like salary, stock options, and the like. Each found Diller as chair and CEO of IAC Interactive is on top. Diller told the New York Times he thought what he earned was fair, given all the wealth he's created for shareholders. First it was coffee, now the price of orange juice is zooming up. Rachel Dornhelm says Florida's orange crop is expected to be one of the smallest since the freezes of the 1980s.
Four hurricanes in 2 years have taken a toll on Florida orange trees. And that will take a toll on consumers' wallets. Prices could climb as much as 60 cents for a gallon of orange juice at your local market. While Brazil is the world's largest producer, Andrew Meadows with the Florida Department of Citrus says 90% of OJ sold in the U.S. usually comes from his state.
So there will be an increase in Brazilian juice into the United States, but certainly Florida juice will still be the vast majority of the orange juice consumed here.
There is one drop of good news for grapefruit lovers. Meadows says that crop wasn't affected as badly, and prices on Florida grapefruit juice are actually expected to fall. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow closed up 7 to 12,134. The NASDAQ closed up 12 to 2356, and the S&P closed up 5 to 1382. And you're listening to Marketplace. Around the country this morning, conservation groups are paying the timber company Plum Creek around $35 million to permanently protect 340,000 acres of forest in Maine. The Bangor Daily News says the deal will go through only if the state gives Plum Creek approval for two resorts and about 1,000 home lots. The Big Dig's engineering managers have gotten extension. The Boston Globe reports Massachusetts will pay Bechtel Parsons Brinckerhoff another $8 million as the project wraps up. They will not be overseeing the work to repair the I-90 tunnel, where part of the ceiling fell earlier this year. Perhaps you've heard about a little sports series going on right now. It's not just baseball players who are working. Police, the feds, and Major League Baseball are on the prowl in St. Louis, looking for unlicensed World Series and Cardinal merchandise. This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Organization for Rare Disorders mission to identify, treat, and cure overlooked and undertreated health conditions. More at rarediseases.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. This week, our series, Frozen Assets, has been looking at the impact of global warming on the Arctic economy. On Wednesday, Marketplace sustainability reporter Sam Eaton was shin-deep in melting permafrost. Today, he picks up the story in Fairbanks, Alaska, where engineers are racing to find new ways to keep Alaska infrastructure from sinking.
Here's what melting permafrost sounds like. But to get a sense of permafrost in its frigid state, you have to bring out the big guns, say, a front-end loader.
There it is, ice. You can see the frost in it.
Here's the problem. In most parts of Alaska, that frozen permafrost is within a degree of turning into the soupy mess you heard earlier. Most of the towns, bridges, pipelines, and highways in Alaska, basically the billions of dollars of infrastructure that keep the economy humming, weren't built with that muck in mind.
Much of Alaska's infrastructure was designed in the 60s, 70s, before any realization of global change had occurred in the engineering psyche, if you will.
Doug Gehring is a mechanical engineer with the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Those roads were designed based on the fact that, okay, this is the way life is, it's going to stay this way.
But with Arctic temperatures rising at twice the rate as the rest of the world, Alaska's roads have become more like obstacle courses than highways. As I drive along the Alaska interstate, the newly paved road literally buckles and sags so suddenly I hit my head on the roof of the car. This is forcing engineers like Doug Gehring to rethink the way they build things. There are now plastic driveways that snap together like Legos, refrigerated pilings, and foundations that adjust to shifting soils. But Gehring says some of the most high-tech solutions are designed for roads, like this one at the entrance to the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
If we walk over here to the main part of Thompson Drive, there's a pattern in the asphalt out here. And you can see, if you look here carefully, you can see the light marks, the pattern of light marks in the asphalt.
Those patterns, he says, were created by a series of subsurface pipes embedded in the pavement.
The basic idea is to use these devices to sort of remove additional heat in the winter, sort of super cool the permafrost in the wintertime when we have cold air to work with, such that it can survive the following summer without thawing out.
Gehring calls it a simple fix to a complicated problem. But like most engineered solutions, it relies on keeping permafrost frozen. He says in time, that task will become a little like bailing water out of a sinking ship with nothing but a teacup. In Fairbanks, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, our series goes to Greenland to find out how CO2 makes the perfect brew. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.